On this week's episode of Casa de Confidence, if you don't know Jack, you should. Jack is redefining midlife for women through curated content and women-driven brands through her website, Cool Life. She delivers relevant ad-free content to women 45 plus. Plus, Julie and I are winding down our vacation in El Salvador. So, we'll see how that's going. Welcome to Casa de Confidence,
a podcast for women
and some cool dudes
going in the direction of their dreams and the confidence it takes to reach them. I'm your host, Julie DeLuca Collins.
And your sidekick, handsome hot husband. That again.
I am a dreamer, a traveler, a visionary, and risk taker. I am a lover of books, activist, philanthropist, and most of all, we are supporter of people and their dreams. If you stumble into the casa for the first time, welcome. If you've been here before, we're so glad you're back. Grab your drink of choice, settle in, and make yourself at home.
Buenos dias, señor Daniel.
Hola, listeners. Is that right?
Hola. Audiencia.
Oh, audiencia.
Like our audience.
So, yes, I am still learning Spanish.
It's still learning, but you know what he has mastered?
I have mastered Julie translating for me.
No, he has mastered the art of enjoying Salvadorian cuisine.
Yes, yes. A lot of good eats down here.
Oh, my goodness. And... again, we are staying in our last hotel during our stay here, which is the Sheraton Presidente. Yes. And it's one of the hotels that has been established here, but it's called Sheraton Presidente because most heads of states and presidents and tycoons and influential people from around the globe have stayed here.
So, as a point of... you know, information, Julie and I, whenever we travel and we stay at different places, we always try to finish with the flourish. And after a week or whatever we're doing for vacation, the last night we stay is usually the nicest place.
Yes. And this hotel has special significance for me because this is where my dad used to bring me for Saturday or Sunday breakfast. And it was always a special occasion to come in. The pool looks just as inviting and beautiful. And it is inviting, by the way. A little chilly because we did go swimming this time around. But it's lovely. It really is.
Yeah. Yeah, the swimming is... muy frío.
Well, you know, you got to think about the but we are right at the foot of the mountain of the volcano, actually, and this
that's volcano. Yeah,
el volcán.
Oh,
yeah, good try. But it's, so it's right at the foot of the volcano, so the altitude is a little higher. So of course, even though it is a balmy 78 degrees.
Oh,
there is a breeze.
The temperature is so beautiful.
We've yet to have...
we're in our hotel room with the doors open, with a view out to the pool. And hopefully we'll get some of the birds that want to be on the podcast. And they'll tweet in, not on Twitter, but, you know, on the podcast.
On the show. So, and it has been an incredible week. The beach was... amazing. We had the beach. We went to El Pimental and it was just calming and relaxing. Hey, Dan, why don't we have a beach house? I love the beach and just sitting and watching the water and seeing the sun set over the water. It always calms my heart and I feel so connected. I had an opportunity. I you know, I did a couple meditations as I sat on the sand and the soft waves came and the breeze was blowing and it was so quiet, but it was really nice to just be able to reconnect and, and feel the warmth of the sun, because, you know, this is a tough time of year for me. The cold, as I, the older I get, I don't know what it is. I used to really enjoy the cold. Maybe because we don't ski anymore. At least I don't ski. I haven't skied since I've been married to you.
I've skied once. When, ever.
You know, when I used to ski almost every other weekend when I lived in New York, I think that it helped me cope with the winter blues better. Maybe we need to go back to that.
Yeah.
You know? Because I feel like kind of like, you know, I mean, if you live in the cold climate, you know, it gets dark early and it, you're in, I am inside a lot. I need to change that. I need
You need to get out a little more.
I need to get out a little more. But overall, haven't been here in the beautiful weather of El Salvador when we were at the beach and then we went to the lake. Oh, that was incredible. And
the
it's
lake
been,
was great.
It's been interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's been interesting for me to sort of, you know, go back to the childhood memories of the places that I used to visit. And some are not the same. Some, most have changed. But it's been interesting to kind of deep, take a deeper dive into my brain.
Yeah. So from my perspective, it's been kind of neat to gain perspective on the country during the time when Julie lived here to the time her relatives had lived here, and they've lived here all throughout all this time during the war in the 80s into the 90s and into current times where it wasn't always a safe place for outsiders to come to. And there was a lot of gang rule in El Salvador. And now the president who's in here now, he's been in here 2.5 years. And he's pretty much wiped out all that gang problem.
And he is made, not messing around.
He's made El Salvador a safer place to come. And I'll tell you, as a 6'6", you know, European descent, white man, I have not felt in danger here at all. You're funny, I was 6'6", but I haven't felt in danger at all as a person that looks different than everyone else.
And sticks out a lot.
And sticks out. And our taxi driver said 3 years ago, I wouldn't have brought you to some of the places that that he brought us to. And, but now so much work and hard effort has gone into making El Salvador better and safer that he feels free bringing me pretty much anywhere.
Well, just to give a history as well, because I think maybe a lot of people, and I'm not going to go into a long history. I'm going to make it short and I'm going to time myself as I do it. The war started in 1979, 1980. And my mom worked at the embassy and my dad being an American. Also, they had to leave the country because they weren't safe. Of course, you can always go into my book and read about that.
Nice plug.
Well, Casa de Confidence.
Mm-hmm.
It has to promote confidence you. but
live
we,
the life
yeah, yeah. Okay, so my sisters and I stayed behind with my grandparents for a year when my mom got settled in the States, and we lived a pretty sheltered life with my grandparents because my grandparents would always say that they were our caretakers, but they weren't our parents, and they needed to keep us safe. And they really provided an environment with where we would go out, but very guarded. We had a driver or someone always watching over us. But overall, 12 years of conflict, a lot of people died. I know that I have classmates that I went to elementary school with that died in the army or fighting for the front, you know, the different. And you can obviously Google more about the conflict. But there's a lot of different things. And I immediately saw a country where you could go to the beach and have gatherings, to a country that I used to hear bombs going off at night when there were bombings of the utility or the water. There were also demonstrations and they would take over the churches, and you would hear gunfighting. And this is a lot of what, for a good year and a half of my childhood. And my sisters, I don't know if they remember as much, but I do. So certainly it had an impact on me. And this is why I have such a stance when it comes to peace, to gunfighting and all that. Anyway, but I'm not going into that today. Now, over the course of, after the peace accord was signed in 1992, I've returned and have visited. I was here, you know, when my grandfather went into hospice, and I spent some time with my cousins, and I've come for weddings and come to visit, but still pretty guarded being in the country. In the last, you know, and there's a lot of corruption overall. This particular president that has come to power, he did some amazing things. First of all, and I would love to talk about it on a different episode, because I think that this is worth talking about, how he, you know, he stood up to the different political parties that are in power and said, no, I'm not going to represent you. I want to represent the people. I want to do for the people. And they said, fine, then you're going to have to start your own party, and you need to get 50,000 signatures in 5 days in order to run. And basically he went on social media and said, I will represent you, not the interest of the wealthy, not the interest of the people in power. And if you are in for this, if you're in for a safer country, if you want to get rid of the gangs, I want you. And they had already seen, because he was the mayor of the capital city, and all the changes and progress that he was making. So 200,000 people showed up at the designated spot to come and sign, to collect those signatures. And so rather than getting merely 50,000, he got over 200,000, and people traveled for days to come and lend their voice to change. And as soon as he came into power, he started to change everything. He started to make a country where people can feel safe. And he is doing a lot of really neat stuff, bringing international things like the surf competition. And he's turning the country into a tourist attraction, and also a competitor in the world market. So that's what I love about this president.
It's amazing. And what president have you ever heard had a 95% approval rating?
Yeah. Hello, 95% approval rating. So, what is that? Anyhow.
What we're saying is,
enough of that.
We're having a great time.
Yes.
And a lot of great work's been done here.
And
it's heartwarming to see everyone that we've spoken to about this being proud.
Yeah.
And being proud of the progress there.
And people here have been proud all the time, but now they feel hope. Yes. And hope is one of these things that when we have it, then it allows us to move forward in the direction of the life that we want to live.
Yeah. And it's infectious.
And they see themselves finally being able to live that type of life. So now,
anyway, we should get on to Jack Perez.
By the way, Jack Perez is taking a group of amazing women on a trip. Can I go?
On a trip?
With Jack Perez? Jack is a woman, by the way, ladies and gentlemen.
You know, you can do whatever your heart desires.
Well, I'm not sure if I'm going to be able to, if it coincides with what I'm able to, but I am a little jelly that she is going to Italy.
Really?
Yeah, she's going to Italy. And you know what? I love the things that Jack is doing to bring to light the need for community and for information and sharing of things in midlife. As I am beginning to navigate midlife, and listen, I still feel 25 at times, but the reality is that
you still look 25.
Oh, well, thank you, Daniel. The reality is that many times we don't know so many different things about navigating getting older, because our mothers and grandmothers didn't really talk about this. And Jack realized that, hey, I want to be in a position in which I love my life, and she's very active. She went skydiving, and you're going to hear about her little adventure skydiving. But overall, she's just decided to create a platform where women can share information so that no matter whether you're in your 50s, 60s, 40s, or even in your 30s, and you want to learn more about what's in store for you and the fulfillment of your life as you continue to evolve, she's creating this wonderful platform. So I love that about Jack.
Her platform is called Cool Life.
The Cool Life. But it's spelled K-U. Did I say that wrong? Yeah.
You had trouble when you were actually interviewing her until
also. It's K-U-E-L.
Cool Life. Cool Life. And the links to Cool Life are in the show notes. So just, scroll down on your player and all those links are there. But it's K-U-E-L-L-I-F-E.com. That's the website.
And by the
way, check her out on Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, Pinterest, Twitter. She's got it all in a weekly newsletter sign up.
Her weekly newsletter is full of gold. And I'm not saying that just because I'm going to be a contributor to her blogs and to the newsletter. But I love getting them on Sundays because I can always find something really interesting and really great information and amazing individuals who I just have loved learning from being in community with.
Oh, and she's a big traveler too. So if you want to talk about traveling. Yeah,
you know we resonate, and this is why I love Jack. And she is just full of incredible knowledge. And I'm going to let you listen because ultimately, this is a woman worth being around because it will make you cool.
See that? Yeah. I see what you did there.
You're welcome.
So, hang out and be cool with Julie and Jack.
Welcome again to another episode of the Casa de Confidence podcast. I have this afternoon with me the incomparable Jack Perez. Jack is someone I met through Clubhouse, of course, one of my favorite platforms, as you know. But this has been an area where I have been able to meet incredible individuals just making an impact in the world. And Jack, before you introduce yourself, I do want to say that for me, I am thrilled that you are part of my universe because you have an amazing community. But before we talk about your community, tell us about you, who you are, where in the world are you, and what led you to what you're doing now?
Julie, thank you so much for asking and for inviting me. I'm thrilled to be here. Yes, I'm Jack Perez. Jack is short for Jacqueline, in case your listeners are wondering, hey, that sounds like a woman's voice. Yes, I am. So who am I, right? That's a big question. How much time do we have? Just the long and the short of it is I happen to be a first-generation born American. My parents were refugees from Cuba in the early 60s. And so I grew up, in that paradigm, which is an interesting paradigm, right? When you're a child of immigrants, there's a work ethic and education ethic that my parents really pushed on us as children. And I believe that's a big part of who I am. Mm. The whole concept of never giving up, being tenacious, being determined, going after what you want, going after it in a methodical way, knowing that you're going to have plenty of obstacles and plenty of situations that might suggest otherwise. But and I'm not saying you shouldn't course correct if you're given enough evidence that is not the path. But that's I'm sort of diverting. But yes, I was born in the U.S., first child in my family to be born in the U.S. Have, your typical sort of education, MBA, did the corporate America thing for a while. Mm-hmm. I didn't do well in corporate America, Julie. It just, the distance between my actions and any sort of real reaction or change or difference the distance was so long and so convoluted that it didn't fit my personality.
Interesting.
Yeah.
What did that frustrate you?
Oh, to no end. I often say to people that I was probably the most disappointing hire out of the University of Chicago MBA program that Hewlett Packard ever had. They went and recruited me, brought me on, and I spent the next 7 years looking at all the jobs above me saying, I don't want any of those. Mm. Why am I here? Why am I here?
Interesting.
Finally, in 1999, I mean, I've been out of the corporate world for a very long time, you know, pre-2000, which, you know, but that's 21 years ago, 22 years ago.
Where does the time go? I mean, it doesn't seem like, you know, time just every day is so slow. And then I look back and I think, where does the time go? Honestly, I don't get it.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know when you're going to release this, but when we're talking, it's already the end of 2021.
Yeah, I know.
I'm not sure. It feels like January was 2 seconds ago.
Exactly. Exactly. And here's one thing that you're doing. Then this is one of the reasons why I love your platform, and I love, and honestly, thank God you're not in corporate America, because you've created a space, you've created a community. It's a digital platform where you are normalizing aging and talking about time going by, right? And you bring highly curated content to individuals like me. And trust me, I love it, because I think that, you know, my mom aged, and she sort of would say, oh, I'm old. And then she would say, I can't do it because I'm old. And I want to change that dialogue. I want to not have that. And listen, my mom has accomplished a lot of things as she continues to get older, but I think that she doesn't necessarily pay attention to that, right? She is more prone to give somebody else a spotlight than to see what she's doing. But tell us more about what led you from corporate America to begin the Cool Life. Cool Life? Cool. Say it for me.
Cool. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. What happened? Well, I didn't go from corporate to Cool Life. I went from corporate to owning a marketing and PR boutique firm in San Francisco, California, with my then husband. And we did that for a fairly long stint. Hmm. We also, in the middle of it all, shut it down for a year and traveled around the world with a backpack and a couple, you know, a pair of Tevas, a pair of hiking boots. And
love it.
In six underwear. And this, Julie, this was pre-smart anything. Do you remember that?
Like when I remember that. When I went to Russia, it was pre-smartphones. And it was, we were lost in the subways of Russia, because we couldn't like figure out, everything was written in Russian and we couldn't figure out what stop to get off.
Right? Because there was no GPS tracker. You know, Google Maps or anything like that. Yeah, we went around the world with, you know, books, a compass, and a watch.
Yeah.
And film, camera, 35 millimeter camera with canisters of film. Oh, do you remember that?
Yeah, of course I remember. I keep to finding canisters of film every once in a while, or things that I never took to be developed. So it's interesting. Yeah,
so what happened during that process is we did a lot of startup work. We had a program called the Startup Springboard, where we would help young fledgling companies take their back of the napkin ideas and launch real businesses. And they did this for 10, 12 years. I helped launch probably hundreds of companies by the time that I was, you know, I burnt out though. I really did. Yeah. I burnt out. And I also hit my early 50s, and it just so happens that whatever symptom you could possibly have from menopause, I had it. Everything from anxiety, which I had never had before. I'm not an anxious person. I weighed the same amount as the day that I gave birth to my son. I had gained 30 pounds over just slowly. And a lot of it was like in my middle and in my back. I was like a Shar Pei puppy. You could pick me up on my scruff on the back. Shar Pei puppies are super cute. They're not so cute on me. I couldn't regulate my emotions. I had horrible brain fog. And I just remember I had totally forgotten this. I even got vertigo.
Really? This is so interesting. And I identify, obviously, through COVID and being a little more sedentary than I have been ever, you know, in my life. I stopped going to the gym every day. And of course, you know, launching a business, my husband and I lived on a diet of through quarantine, a lot of quarantine through chips and salsa. I'll never forget. And you can't do that in midlife because your metabolism is a little different and you got to be doing other things. But I certainly, you know, I went to the doctor in September, beginning of September, and I was saying, you know, I've been feeling this and this. And she's like, oh, are you anxious? And I'm thinking, I've never been anxious. I mean, I felt maybe sad or depressed, and especially in the wintertime here in New England. It's a little harder for me, but definitely there's a lot of things that have come about. Like I get up in the middle of the night and I wonder, and I think I saw this, of course, in TikTok, my second other platform where I seem to get all my information and news. Like I get up and I'm thinking like, oh, and what about this? And what about that? And my mind is just going. And that's new to me for sure.
Yeah. So when all of this was happening and I was 52, maybe 53, I was looking for information. I mean, this is actually how this cool life situation happened. I went to find out what is wrong with me and how can I fix it? I potentially, at this point in time, I was 52, 53. I'm like, I had potentially another, 40, maybe even 48 years left. I wasn't going to live my life like that. And I certainly did not enjoy being the size. I mean, I wasn't medically overweight, but for me, I was, right? And because it's all relative, it's what it's what you're comfortable with. Right. It's what your frame can take. So what happened was when I started to try to fix myself by getting information, I couldn't find anything.
Yeah,
I mean, I couldn't find anything. Very little was out there to address any of these symptoms or issues, and I was really frustrated because all of a sudden it hit me that the information that I was being dispensed, that I was given to consume at my age was messages like, you shouldn't have long hair when you get older.
I've heard that.
Use Botox because you want to try to stay looking like in your 30s. Use Juvederm. And I was like, really? That's what I have to listen to? I don't, you know, there was nothing in there about, you know, how should I feel? Or, and I hate the word should, you know, what is normal? What happens when your kid goes to college? What are some of the normal things that you might go through?
Right.
What are some of the normal things you might go through when you go through menopause? What are some of the normal things you might go through? There's nothing out there that normalized aging. And here's the deal, Julie, every other human, as a matter of fact, more than every other human, because women outnumber men, goes through menopause. Why is it a mystery? Why was it a mystery? Why did I not know what was happening to me?
Yeah, it's amazing. And I'm so glad that you did this because you started to try to, you know, fix things in yourself, but now you're actually helping others and you're forging the way for others.
And to be honest with you, while I am working really hard to normalize aging for myself and women like you, I honestly believe it's even more important to do it for our daughters.
Yes.
Our nieces, our granddaughters. I want them to have something else to figure out. I don't want them to feel invisible the way I did. I don't want them to look in the mirror and be despondent about what they see reflected back. Because I have to tell you, honestly, this is the best season of life.
Jack, I love that. And you and I've had this conversation. I have nieces and that's exactly what the things that I do, whether it be in leadership or forging the way is so important because in 1960s or even in the 70s, women couldn't even have their own bank account or couldn't even get a credit card without her husband co-signing for it. And I think that we need to forge the way.
That's in our lifetime. Yeah. I mean, that's in our lifetime. That wasn't that long ago.
Yeah, absolutely.
If you really think about that, that wasn't that long ago.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. You are like this tour guide into a new age. And I totally believe that I am starting to see that this is definitely such a great time in my life, and I'm doing some great stuff that I love, and I continue, I have a tons of things that I want to go ahead and continue to do. And I love that there is a space where I can go find that. But more importantly, there's a community where I can have conversations with people. The other thing I would say, and I don't know if I've mentioned this to you before, and I made a note for myself. Do you know Marianne Alda? Does that name?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, she is. I love her. She is very aspirational because that's how I want to be when I get into my 70s.
Yes, she's normalizing aging. And she was a guest on the podcast. And I have to say, I fangirl because I used to watch Designing Women. And I'm like, ooh, she was in Designing Women. I love it. So she's phenomenal.
I never saw that show. I'm going to have to go. I'm going to have to find it on. I'm sure I can find it somewhere.
You know where I have seen some of the episodes and I was a little nostalgic watching it again. Because my dad and I used to watch it together, and he used to say, my dad was raised by my grandmother in New York, and she was a single mom, and she was a strong woman, but she worked really hard. She worked at a clothing factory making hats, and just had a one of those hard lives. And but my dad loved strong women, and the show is about these strong women, and who would stand up and speak their mind. And so that's a great show for sure. So, but Marianne Alda is a phenomenal person. And I love having her on the show because we really were able to talk about this whole concept of, you know, what does it look like? And how is it that we can embrace it and live it in a better way as opposed to trying to run away from it, which, you know, we're all going to age.
Hopefully.
Yeah. If you do it right. Absolutely.
I mean, the only way you can stay young is to die young. And who wants that? Here's the other amazing thing, Julie, I believe about this time is that I have no desire to slow down. As a matter of fact, I have, and as you said, and I think you just said, you have so many things on your plate that you're wanting to do, that you want to continue to do. Mm-hmm. There's all, and the amazing part now at this time in life is that I believe we have a lot more self-confidence. Mm-hmm. We have a lot more wisdom.
Yes.
We also don't give as many F's about what other people think.
For sure. For sure. And that's big. I think that in my
20s. That's huge. I buried the lead. I should have started with that, actually.
But it's true because I think that in our 20s, and I spent some time thinking like, oh, what will people think? And then in my 30s, I started to like, I don't care. And this, I just have an opinion. I'm going to say it, whatever. But still not as now. I'm like, oh, who cares? And I'm going to, you know, so I love that part of aging. What do you think is one of the challenges that women who are aging or young women that are starting to, you know, enter into their 40s and transition from their 30s are finding that they're most afraid of? What would you say is one of the things that they're most afraid of?
Younger women, I think what they're afraid of, I would imagine because we don't see models, we don't see people out there in media modeling, you know, and I'm a big Anthropology fan. Mm-hmm. I wear their clothes.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, I think the sweater is an Anthropology sweater.
Which, by the way, I love.
Thank you. But I don't see women my age in Anthropology ads. Why not?
Yeah.
You know, and it feels like, so I know that one of the things that women who are aging fear the most and feel the most is this sense that they're disappearing, that they're no longer looked at or noticed. Mm-hmm. You know, once we get past that biological imperative and we're not fertile anymore. And I get it. I mean, I understand the biology of it. Mm-hmm. I understand, you know, that we are animals. We are here to procreate. Right. We are here to leave legacy behind. Mm-hmm. And so we have a biological imperative. And a lot of people choose not to exercise it. More power to you, because having kids, it's its own thing, right? And I have a total respect for people who decide not to have them, because it's its own paradigm. It really, really is. So I think that women, as they age, start to disappear. Mm. I think that's what happens. I think that's the thing that women already aging feel. I can't really speak to what young women would fear, but what I see them buying
Right.
And their 20s and 30s is Botox and Juvederm to prevent aging, yep. prevent wrinkling. So using that piece of data, I'm assuming that they fear the physical change
yeah.
of manifestation of age starting to show on their body. And that, I believe, has everything to do with the way we as a society treat older people.
Right.
We don't, I mean, this society is our society, our Western society, mm-hmm. North America. I can't speak for Canada, but I bet Canada has the same problem. We are so youth centric.
Yeah, we are. We are absolutely
so youth centric that somehow you get to a certain age and you're no longer of value. And that makes me giggle because holy cow, I have more value in this 5 foot, 210 pound frame
right.
than say 4 20-year-olds.
Yeah. And here's the thing, you were talking about how they value the Botox and the Juvederm. I actually went to a conference in Nashville, I guess 4 years ago. And one of the young women from this other organization that I was there with, we were going to end up, we ended up meeting up, and there was the four of us that kind of stuck around together for the conference. And she was in her early 30s, 33, and she was so concerned that she was going to miss her Botox appointment. And I'm thinking, you're 33. You don't have any wrinkles. Like, are you kidding me? And so she asked me, we had the conversation, and this is again 4 years ago, I wasn't 50 yet, but she's like, when did you start doing it? And I joke and I say, I'm always joking in the show that I'm going to get Botox and whatnot, but I've never had it. And honestly, I think that there's some things that are earned, right? And we need to make sure that if you choose or don't choose to do it, just be very clear why you're doing it and right. not do it because you're trying to be accepted or loved or, and that's really our inner desire is to really belong. And ultimately, I think that as we're aging, if we haven't seen what aging and the value that you can have as someone who ages, then we become afraid of not belonging.
Exactly. And because up until now, and I mean, we still have the problem. I mean, ageism is rampant. And,
right.
and here's the thing with that ageism, we do it to ourselves.
Yeah.
Those young women at 20 and 30 doing the Botox and Juvederm, they're mm-hmm. ageist. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
They're actually exhibiting ageist behavior because they're preventing themselves from right. looking like they're aging. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so we have a long, yeah. we're making progress.
Making progress, indeed.
We are. And I am hell-bent on being part of leading this mission, this paradigm mm-hmm. of normalizing aging.
Yeah.
Because we all, at the end of the day, we all want to age.
Yeah, absolutely. That is the alternative. The alternative is not something that I look forward to. And we're all going to get there. But ultimately, you know, we're created to do so much in our life. We are created to give so much into the world that when you decide that, you know, you're done, you know, you want to stay young, you're taking away the wisdom that comes also with age. And you're cheating yourself off of that. Jack, there's a couple of things that I also wanted to follow up. I know that when you introduced yourself, you talked that your parents are Cuban immigrants. Does that mean that you speak Spanish?
Sí, hablo español.
Oh, yo también. Yo no sabía que hablabas español.
Sí. Yo nací y no, al principio, no, yo no hablaba inglés. Porque me enseñaron, mi abuela me crió, me enseñó claro. español. Yo aprendí, I should switch back because I don't know what your audience does, but I learned how to speak English mm-hmm. through Kimba the White Lion, which was a cartoon when yeah. I was little, and basically school.
And school, right? Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. You know, and the reason I asked, and going back a little bit to the conversation of what is happening a lot in the United States is that we don't value the older generation, but having been brought up, you know, for instance, I know in El Salvador, in even I grew up in Miami, there were a lot of Cuban immigrants. So I know that the cultures really do treasure the older generations and really held them in high esteem. And this is something that really continues to impart in us as individuals a greater sense of value, and also understanding that there's so much gifts in as we age, right?
Yes. I mean, the women ran my family. We were a very matriarchal, and it's ironic because Latin American culture is known for male chauvinism and, you know, machismo.
Right.
But interestingly enough, and I mean, that stuff existed. I'm not going to lie. I remember being young and thinking and looking at my dad and looking at my brother and thinking, yeah, I'm never dating a Cuban man.
Because that's how I felt.
I am not waiting on you hand and foot, because I saw what my mom, you know, what my mom did. Mm-hmm. But even with that, yes, that existed. But even with that, the subtext, honestly, in the larger family was definitely ruled by a matriarch figure. It was just, it was interesting. Yeah. And an older figure in the family. So
absolutely. Yeah. We've always had matriarchs in our family. My grandmother was the matriarch. And then when she passed, it became her sister-in-law, my aunt. And again, she was the matriarch of the family. And now it's passed on to my mom. And again, this strong woman who kind of makes the decision, leads, and she is the one who everybody, you know, can adhere to and come to for thoughts and ideas, support and advice. So that's very important. I see that you have a lot of people in inside the membership, and I joined because I'm like, oh, I need to hang out with these women. They're amazing. Tell us a little bit more about the Cool Life and what can people expect if they're going to be a part of it.
Okay. Well, that's a big question, but yes, my intention when I built it was to literally build a platform where we can address all the myriad and sundry opportunities and challenges that come with this season of life, because there are physiological changes, but there's also family structure changes. There are also professional changes. Mm-hmm. The largest percentage of entrepreneurs beginning businesses are women over 50. That's it. That's our demographic.
So when I
realized this, and I realized that we weren't being taken seriously, that we weren't being given the information that we deserve and that we need, and that we were in a position where I felt like society was keeping us separate and divisive.
Yeah.
The thing is, Julie, that boomer women and Gen X women together, we outnumber every other population cohort on the planet.
That is a huge number. And let's hear that again, because I think that boomer and Gen X women outnumber
any other cohort humans currently on the planet.
That's insane.
But it doesn't even stop there. That cohort owns most of the wealth, and we're talking billions of dollars.
Wow.
And that cohort makes 85 to 90% of the purchasing decisions in every household. That's amazing. I'm not talking brand of toothpaste or brand of toilet paper. We're talking big ticket items, homes, vacations, cars. So why have we been ignored? Why is no one talking to us? Yeah. Why are the things that are important to us not available to us to explore? Yeah. So I built the place where, and it's funny because when I built it, it's a little over 3 years old. Mm-hmm. And when I built it, I was the sole contributor. Mm-hmm. I mean, who else was going to contribute? It was just me, right?
Yeah.
I had to go out and research topics and write about them. And I'm not an expert in every arena that is important to us. I mean, I don't know that much about divorce or you know, menopause. I knew nothing about menopause at the time. So I had to start looking for experts, industry thought leaders that would be willing to join my effort. And Julie, I had a cruddy website that I built completely by myself with Google, YouTube, and buckets of tears.
I love it.
And so here I am, and I'm researching or stalking, depending on what you want to, the word you want to use, like on the internet, looking for these women who are experts in these categories that I knew. Like, I made a list of everything that I thought was important to us in the season. And then I went after looking for the industry thought leaders. And at the beginning, I, you know, like I said, I had a cruddy website. It was very thin. There weren't very many articles that, you know, I didn't really have SEO. I didn't have the social media accounts. But when I talked to these women one-on-one and I told them what my intentions were, what my mission was, every single one of them nodded in agreement. And they said, yeah, you can count on me. I'm with you. And yeah. Now I will have, by the end of this year, Julie, I kid you not, I probably will have more than 50 industry thought leaders talking about everything from elder care, empty nest, connections, menopause, you know, being an entrepreneur. I mean, it's just anything.
There's a wealth of information in every topic in here. And in you know, when you're so good, and I have to give you props because I consistently know that I can expect your newsletter on Sundays, and it comes in. And if I don't see it right away, I you know, I start to wonder what's happening. But it never happens, right? You are consistent, and I think that this is something that I have been able to, I'll send, you know, the information on something to someone. I actually just, you know, read the latest article on the drugstore makeup buys, because I was thinking, I'm like, I need a little refresher. What should I get? But I don't want to, you know, go to Ulta and spend a lot of money. Cause every time I go, of course, we all spend, like you said, right? We have that buying power. And I got some great tips, but everything from nutrition to relationships to just inspirational pieces too, right? Like how to wear life like a loose garment. I read that article and I thought, wow,
this is Maria Olson. Maria Olson. Yeah. And she is an inspiring woman who is now an industry thought leader. I mean, that was her share your story, because when I first started Cool Life, I have always, when I traveled around the world and I met people from all over the world, I realized that we were far more similar than dissimilar.
Yeah.
And when I launched Cool Life, I really wanted to interview women. Mm-hmm. That was a thing that I had always wanted to do. So I interviewed 100 women. I sent them the same interview, and that's how Maria became part of Cool Life originally, was she was part of the Share Your Story program. But now she is one of my thought leaders. She's contributes, I think, monthly now. And I love her writing style. She's a survivor. I mean, she's more than a survivor. She is a thriver.
Oh,
so there's
for sure
so much to learn from her, so much to glean from her. And I'm very excited to have her as part of the platform. She's a good egg. She's
a dynamo. And again, you know, another one of my favorite women, Amy Schmidt, Cannonball into, I forgot, wait a minute, Cannonball Confidently. Oh. Wait, what is her book? I should have.
Cannonballing.
Cannonballing Confidently. Oh, I'm terrible here. I have to look it up. Let me see.
Yeah, I was just about to look it up, but I turned my phone off so it wouldn't interfere. So I can't look it up. But Cannonballing with Confidence or something like that. But you can go to Cool Life and buy the book. It's on there.
Yeah,
and her article's on there too, because she's one of my industry thought leaders as well, which she's amazing.
Yeah, she is.
I was on her podcast about a year ago, and she was delightful. She's just delightful.
She's here in Connecticut, and I still have not made it a point to connect with her physically. And I maybe at the beginning of the year, when you know things are a little dreary and we need to just get out. Cannonball, Fearlessly Facing Midlife and Beyond. That is her.
And that book is on the website, because what I didn't mention is that throughout the process, I was noticing more and more women who in midlife and beyond had left their corporate jobs or had decided now that the kids were gone, that they wanted to follow a dream or a passion whether it is making jewelry or writing a book or creating beautiful Italian silk scarves with these amazing designs. I wanted to be that. I wanted that to be part of the overall experience for Cool Life. And so I added this shopping experience, this curated shopping experience, where I go out and find women-driven brands and bring them together in an opportunity for us to be able to go out and purchase with a purpose. When you buy something from that platform, from Cool Life, from that curated shopping experience, you're directly putting money into that woman's pockets.
That's right. And that is so important because, you know, the statistics show that when you shop with a woman and they have money in their pocket, they reinvest it into their communities. I volunteer at the United Way and I'm part of the Leadership Council. And one of the reasons that I continue to do a lot of work with the United Way is because we do support a financial literacy center that helps women who are in a maybe lower socioeconomic place in which they need some of the resources to learn how to manage their finances and how to grow to the next level in their life and career. The United Way does that. And then the women, once they are have better paying jobs, they're reinvesting in the community. And that's so important.
And that is actually why I don't have one money expert. I don't even have two money experts. I have four money experts that write for the site. And the reason being is that each one comes from a different perspective.
Yeah.
And I know that for me, I don't necessarily resonate with every single message out there. Sometimes you have to find the right messenger to deliver the message to you in a way that makes sense to you. And each of these women has a different background and a different perspective on money. But money is such an important topic.
Absolutely. For women. Absolutely. And we need to be empowered to be able to know that. And money is something that I think that we all have all our stories with money, but we need to know that it's a tool. And as a tool, you need to learn to use it. Just like if you were going to be using power tools, which it is a power tool, have the right coaching. Otherwise, you know, you can get in trouble with a power tool if you don't know how to use it correctly.
Yes, yes. But you brought up, I forgot to mention the money experts, because like I said, it's, and I believe there's room for more money experts if your viewers are, your listening audience is like, hey, I might want to write and I'm an expert on money. Like, don't discount. It depends on your perspective, because if you can bring value, my whole mission is, I like I said, I want to be the quintessential platform for women in this season of life to go look for the information that they need and want. And also that's where they go to at least look for their first pass at gifts for themselves or gifts for other people, because it's not going to be delivered in one of those brown Amazon Prime trucks in a couple hours, because a lot of these products are handmade by these women or they're custom made. There has to be a little pre-planning, which is really hard. We all have trouble delaying gratification, and it's getting worse and worse because of Amazon, because of other options that we are all given. It's really hard to wait. It's really hard to wait, but it's worth it. Ladies and gentlemen, it's worth it because making a difference in a person's life. Plus, you're giving a gift that's unusual, that has a story. Because that's the other thing, is that for most of my vendors, my Cool Life vendors, Cool Chiefs, as I call them, I do a little interview with them as well. And because I want my audience, I want my community to know the woman that they're buying from.
Yeah, so good. So good. Yeah. I actually, you know, I believe in the importance, and I'm going to do the second annual this year. And one of the things that I do is I actually create a shopping guide for the holidays. And I highlight women-owned small businesses that are just creating some beautiful, unusual, different, out of the ordinary. You're not ordering from China or, you know, but you're really connecting and empowering a woman. So I am finalizing my list, and that will be one of the episodes. I am releasing it before the holidays, probably before Black Friday, so that everybody can, I think that makes it next week.
If you're not done with the list, I would love to be considered, because there's a lot of amazing women.
Yeah, for sure. So, you know, we'll have to talk offline. And then because I actually went to the site and I was looking through, I will tell you that I have a couple things in my cart. and then I'm like, no, I'm not shopping for me. I'm supposed to be crowdsourcing here. So I saw a lot of
really cool stuff. Shop a little bit for yourself. You know, like, I know. It is hard during the holidays. My sister and I used to have a little bit of a joke when we were younger, when we'd go shopping and be like, well, you know, a present for them, a present for me, a present for them, a present for
me. Exactly. Now, the other thing too that I did want to talk about as well is you have a trip, and I told you that I'm not sure I'm going to be able to do this, but I've been going back and kind of thinking about it. You have a trip to Tuscany. Tell us a little bit more about this.
Yeah, I'm so excited. I've always wanted to, traveling is one of the most important things to me. It really is. It's one of my key, you know, if you ask me, okay, what brings you joy outside of my loved ones? Okay. Because that's table stakes, of course, but the things that bring me joy are travel, live entertainment, and dining out. So it's been a rough 22 months or 21 months. I'll let you know
that. I'm with you. Those are things that really light my hair on fire. I love those.
Yeah. So I met Leslie Enders on Clubhouse and we hit it off. We started talking, and the more we talked, the more we realized that we needed to collaborate. And now we created this trip to Tuscany for Cool Life. It's a whole week. We're in this renovated farm, not renovated. It's an old farmhouse on like a vineyard with like olive trees. We're going to have someone come in and cook for us and give us an Italian cooking class.
Wow.
We're taking a day trip into Florence. Here's the deal. And there's only three slots left. There's going to be a total of nine of us, and we're women. So we're going to fly in barely knowing each other, and we're going to leave in tears, hugging one another.
That's because
we're BFFs for life, right?
Oh, absolutely. And there's power in these moments. Julie,
you should come. I mean, it's such a reasonably priced trip.
I know it is. It
is included.
It is. Wait, is airfare included?
Airfare is not included.
Okay, that's what I thought. Okay.
But most of the meals and the room and board.
I love Tuscany. Yeah. Tuscany, it's such a beautiful place. And the only reason I told you, you know, I don't think I can make it, and I really need to make a decision and just kind of, you know, like they say, you know, piss or get off the pot, is I'm supposed to be going back to the Camino de Santiago. And I was going to do that on 2020. That was going to my intent, but I keep pushing it off. So I need to make a decision and really plan it out.
And do the Camino and then join us in Tuscany to rest and relax.
There you go. This may be a really good option. Okay.
Go burn all those calories walking all of those miles.
There you go.
Kilometers. And then come and drink wine and eat pasta and enjoy Tuscany.
Well, I do that in the Camino too. But, how can I? Ask the right question. And that definitely, you're right. See, sometimes you need somebody else to point out the obvious. Good job.
Yeah, I'm a yes and girl versus an or but girl.
What are you in the Enneagram? Do you know?
I don't, but I've always wanted. I don't know. How do you figure that out? I mean, there must be a test.
Yeah, you have to take the test, and in the test, there's a lot of Enneagram tests out there. If you go to Brené Brown's, Brené Brown did the podcast with the Enneagram Institute, the guy who is the head of the Enneagram Institute, and that's probably the most reputable test. So in the Enneagram, I am seven, wing eight. I cannot explain a lot of everything other than to say that the seven suffers from FOMO. That's me. So it's like, I need to do that too.
Yeah. Well, my apologies if I triggered something.
No, it's all perfectly fine. I was already feeling.
I enjoy your company. I think we would have a good time.
So there's your trip, and then this actually one of my other guests on the podcast, a phenomenal young woman, and talk about body positivity. Talk about putting a great message out there. She's not one that is like trying to hide being plus size or aging. Her name is Callie Richards, and she again was a guest. And she is hosting a trip to Greece. And she's like, all ages need to come because I think that all women need to connect. I'm like, ooh, do I need to go on that too? This is the beauty of working for yourself, right?
Your seven is showing, Julie. Your seven is showing.
That's right. My seven is showing for sure. Jack, this has been such a pleasure. I could probably talk to you all day. I know that you are recovering, and I want to talk a little bit about that is one of the last things that I wanted you to share, if that's okay. You had a little major accident in the last few months. Do you want to talk a little bit about that?
Yes. In August, I can't believe I don't remember the date, right? But it was middle of August. The day that I was supposed to drive my son to college, and before we were driving to college, he decided, because my godson turned 18 and wanted to jump out of an airplane, that he was going to jump out of an airplane with his godbrother, my godson. And my immediate reaction, Julie, was, well, you can't jump out of that airplane by yourself. I need to be there. You need a mom in there, just because what if something goes wrong? As if I could do anything to stop anything bad from happening. Well, you know, I jumped, and it was my third time.
Jumping out of an airplane.
Third time. And amazing. So because I had done it twice before, my tandem instructor felt pretty comfortable. He asked me, guys, well, do you want to pull the chute? Do you want an altimeter? And I'm like, yeah, let's do that. So he gave me the altimeter. You know, and I have video of me looking at the altimeter and me pulling the chute, and he let me man the chute, the whole thing. It was wonderful. It was a perfect jump. It was amazing. And then at the very end, he's like, okay, well, let me take it over because we're landing. I'm like, yeah, you take it over. I don't know what happened. I don't know if he thought, she's little, I can land on my feet. I'm not sure what happened. But from what my son and my godson and everybody on the ground says is, like, his feet touched the ground and then something happened to the chute that pulled him back up. And when he came down on his backside, on his butt. Thing is that I had been prepared to land as a slide, which is typically what you do in a tandem, like you're sliding into a base. But my legs were parallel to the ground. So when he came down, I came straight down on my tailbone.
On your tailbone, yeah.
And I heard the most horrific sound I've ever heard in my entire life. It was the cracking of my back. And I honestly, I thought to myself, that's it. I'm 57 years old and I just paralyzed myself for life.
Wow.
I'm done.
Yeah. These are the moments. But what is happening now? How are you doing? How are you feeling? And what was the journey?
I just got released. My neurosurgeon just released me last week. I'm fully healed.
Thank God.
And Julie, I had no back surgery. Great. And I had no back brace.
Wow.
So here's a PSA for your audience. Being physically fit is not a mere vanity play. It really
That's
isn't.
That's right.
The reality was, and it isn't right now because I'm now having to come back. I've atrophied tremendously because I haven't been able to do anything for 3.5 months. But the reality was that when the accident happened, my core, and I'm not talking six-pack abs that are pretty. I'm talking about your core, which is basically everything but your arms, your legs, and your head. I mean, everything else was so strong. Right. And so developed and strong. There's no other word to use, right? Yeah. That it supported the structure of my back, my actual spine.
Yeah. And it's so important. And I think that this is something that we definitely neglect. You know, when I was working out with my trainer and I was going to the gym, that was one of the things that he really did. And he really stressed, as you get older, you need to do your core. And I would love people to connect with you to hear more about your story. And I know that you would love to have them just ask you questions and find out what do you do that will be great things. And I know that you take advantage and leverage the experts that you have in Cool Life. So I think that I'm going to let them connect with you on social media and learn more. What are the things that helped you create that strong core and create the type of mentality? Because I think that you had the right mindset when all of this happened. And that's part of what helped you move along, even though I'm sure you had your days, because anytime that we're not 100%, you know, we have those days. But you are doing some great work. You're impacting the lives of women. Where can people find you?
Cool Life, and it's spelled all cattywampus with a K, K-U-E-L, right? And people are like, cool, what, where did you get that? And I'm like, well, it's actually in the Urban Dictionary as another word for C-O-O-L, just because I wanted C-O-O-L, but that was taken or, you know, or overused, but K-U-E-L was not. And it's spelled differently, but it's pronounced the same. If you go to Cool Life, you can find me on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, Pinterest. You can email me from that platform. I also write a weekly essay in that platform called Jack Smack. And so you can contact me through that as well. Yeah. I'm not hard to find. So if you're interested in getting to know me and talking to me and potentially collaborating or being part of the Cool Life experience, I am all ears.
Oh, so good. Well, I am so happy that you decided to come to Casa de Confidence, and I so appreciate you. We're definitely going to have to evaluate this Tuscany. You have 3 spots. Okay, good to know.
Bring a friend.
There you go. I actually do have the friend that would probably say, let's do it. I've traveled the world with her, so... Let me chat with her.
We have some cool ladies signed up already.
I'm really so excited. All right.
Yeah.
Well, thank you again for being a part of the podcast. I know I've kept you a little longer, but I so appreciate you. And, you know, Jack, don't forget, go confidently in the direction of your dreams and continue to make the dreams of others a reality by the work that you do.
Thank you so much, Julie.
Okay. Have a great day.
You too.
Thanks for joining us this week on the Casa de Confidence podcast with Julie DeLuca Collins. Remember to check her out on Instagram and Facebook, and always click subscribe to catch every new episode. Remember, leave a review so we can continue to bring you fresh content. And as always, go confidently in the direction of your dreams.
Hi, everybody. I know that sometimes we get very lonely in this entrepreneur journey, and I want to invite you to join us into our limited time only Purposeful You Mastermind. For many of us entrepreneurs, we believe that we can do it all, but the reality is that doing it alone only creates a lot of overwhelm. So join us at the Purposeful You Mastermind. You can find out more information by going to bit.ly/Julie's Mastermind. This is going to be the place where you are able to then unlock your full potential and achieve long-term success for your business, push you behind your current limits, expand your connections, discover new ideas, and implement them with confidence. You're going to get the support in all aspects and transforming you to the six-figure business you've been looking for. Pause and get off the hamster wheel if you've been spinning around. This is a time where you can get that support from like-minded entrepreneurs that are here to join you in your journey. Together, we can challenge the assumptions and land the speaking engagements and opportunities we want to grow our business and make an impact in the lives of people. See you then. Remember, you can find the mastermind at bit.ly, Julie's Mastermind.